Picture a groom on his wedding day in 1951, devastated because his morning suit never arrived. Weeks later, he received something extraordinary, a handwritten letter from the company's managing director expressing unprecedented embarrassment, accompanied by a full refund and a personal check worth hundreds in today's money. This wasn't a PR strategy or damage control, it was genuine human contrition. Fast forward to today. In January 2018, only 2 days passed without a major organization issuing a public apology. Tesco alone apologized 13 times in 2017, once every 4 weeks, despite not being 6 times worse than they were 5 years earlier. Google's database reveals that published instances of sorry peaked in 2008 at levels unseen since 1629. Yet here's the paradox. In 1953, during unprecedented prosperity, sorry had its lowest point since the 18th century. When people were busier, richer, and happier, they apologized less. Today, we're drowning in apologies that mean nothing. Corporate apologies have exploded as organizations apologize more frequently and online media amplifies every instance. Between 2000 and 2008, Google indexed just 2 pages containing retailer apologizes. By 2018, that number hit 34 million. Publishers need traffic for ad revenue, and anger drives shares and clicks. Organizations make perfect villains, powerful, faceless, visible. Customers make perfect heroes, plucky, powerless, relatable. This creates a perpetual outrage machine where consumers demand accountability through hollow responses. Unlike human apologies driven by empathy, organizational apologies lack genuine emotion. Organizations only apologize for observable failures. They never confess secrets they could have kept. Companies apologize for operational failures, faulty goods, late deliveries, or cultural ones, offensive advertising, workplace harassment. The uncomfortable truth, organizations only apologize when there's something in it for them. A 2018 study of 1.5 million Uber customers found that the most effective apology was a $5 coupon with or without any accompanying apology text, and that apologizing without offering a coupon has a potentially negative effect on future spending. When facing genuine inconvenience, consumers prioritize problem solving over empathy. When freezing rain hit the Atlantic coast on Valentine's Day 2007, JetBlue suffered a catastrophic meltdown. Over 1,000 flights were canceled, affecting 130,000 customers, with some passengers trapped on grounded aircraft for 11 hours. CEO David Neeleman's response became the definitive modern corporate apology, yet almost nobody has replicated it since. Neeleman published a 364-word letter beginning, "We are sorry and embarrassed, but most of all, we are deeply sorry." No corporate cliches, just direct accountability. He used sorry 3 times, you 11 times, and I just once. Then came the groundbreaking move, a video posted to YouTube barely 2 years old at the time. The 3-minute clip was authentically unpolished, no background music, fancy editing, or staged interactions. Neeleman sat awkwardly close to the camera and occasionally stumbled over words. Critics scored it 3-10 for presentation and 10-10 for impact. Most crucially, JetBlue introduced a customer bill of rights, concrete repair, not just compensation. They established permanent customer rights with specific amounts, guaranteed rebooking, and clear communication protocols. Forbes called it the textbook version. Yet, despite this perfect model existing since 2007, few organizations have followed it. Organizations use linguistic tricks to distance themselves from failures. Pegasus Airlines called a near disaster a runway excursion incident when their plane skidded off the runway and stopped meters above the Black Sea. Seattle-Tacoma Airport tweeted about an unauthorized takeoff without passengers after a mechanic stole a plane and fatally crashed. Oscar Munoz apologized for having to reaccommodate passengers after Dr. David Dow was dragged bloodied from a United flight. Grammar enables evasion. Modal verbs like may and might create uncertainty. Mother risks may have been impacted in some negative way, makes trauma theoretical. Passive voice removes agency. PricewaterhouseCoopers wrote about the error that was made rather than our error after the 2017 Oscars mix-up. The indefinite article creates distance. An incident implies other incidents might matter too. These aren't accidents. They're calculated strategies to appear contrite while avoiding responsibility. The qualified apology, or faux apology, starts well but derails at but or however, undermining genuine contrition. Worse is the self-satisfied apology that emphasizes innocence over responsibility. After Mother Risk's flawed drug tests destroyed families, CEO Michael Apkin stated, "We deeply regret that the practices didn't meet the high standard of excellence that we have here at SickKids." This elevated the hospital to a moral plane it had no right to occupy while supposedly apologizing. These non-apologies appear everywhere. Equifax claimed to pride ourselves on being a leader in managing and protecting data after breaching 143 million accounts. Samsung declared, "Safety remains our top priority," after recalling exploding phones. The pattern is consistent. Trumpet your virtues, then minimize failure as exceptional. A genuine apology acknowledges harm, takes clear responsibility, and focuses on impact rather than reputation, not on protecting the organization's image. Protein World's controversial 2015 Are You Beachbody Ready billboard sparked outrage, defaced posters, trending hashtags, and a 40,000 signature petition. Instead of apologizing, the company doubled down, defending those who aspire to be healthier, fitter, and stronger. This defiance generated 20,000 new customers, $1 million in 4 days, 20,000 social media followers, and 133 media pieces reaching 113 million people. When Nike endorsed Colin Kaepernick amid NFL protests, sales jumped 31% despite presidential condemnation and boycott threats. The strategy? Pick a side and never apologize to the opposition. By alienating one tribe while signaling shared values with another, brands forge powerful connections. As Patagonia's Yvonne Chouinard said, "If you're not pissing off 50% of people, you're not trying hard enough." Organizational apologies correlate less with misconduct than with market friction, how easily consumers can switch competitors. Fashion brands apologize more than banks because after the financial crisis, only 6% switched banks. Organizations weigh both how badly did we mess up and what can people do about it before deciding whether to apologize. We've devalued sorry through overuse and insincerity. Organizations face conflicting pressures. Humiliation discourages addressing failure. Litigation fears prevent necessary apologies, and social media criticism triggers unnecessary ones. Companies worsen this by committing to unattainable standards. Brands claiming global messages of unity invite scrutiny of inevitable shortcomings. A basic apology response plan needs 3 questions. Are we at fault? How sorry do we need to be? How do we put it right? When not at fault, consider alternatives. Marks and Spencer faced criticism over a window display, but responded precisely. M&S sells more underwear in more shapes, sizes, and styles than any other retailer. We've highlighted one combination in our windows. Without We're Sorry, journalists couldn't sensationalize the story. When apologizing is necessary, say sorry, not apologize or express regret. Keep it short, state what you're apologizing for and to whom, center victims, own the failure, and acknowledge impact. Avoid obfuscation, passive voice, or mitigating factors. Restore sorry to its rightful place, not as reflexive response to every complaint, but as genuine contrition that repairs trust.